Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. God said, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "O my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff, with which you shall do the signs."
This is a wonderful commissioning, but there's a wonderful commissioning, isn't there, in Exodus chapter 3. God calls to Moses out of the bush, and he says to him in verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." I don't know how inadequate Mr. and Mrs. Gibson are feeling this evening for the task that's lying before them. But I think probably if you were to have a word with Moses, his feelings would be 100 times maybe what you are feeling. Given the task that was facing Moses, there was a great deal of weakness and inadequacy that must have flooded in. And he launches into a dialogue with God. And really, that's not a bad thing when we decide to speak with God and to hear what he has to say. And he begins his dialogue with a question. And it's a question that reflects his weakness and his inadequacy. And it's there in chapter 3 and verse 11 when he says, "Who am I? Who am I?" And that's a good question to start with tonight. And it's not a bad thing to start with our weakness and our inadequacy, because it's there in every case. Actually, the culture that we live in invites us to ask this question, "Who am I?" You see, today, identity is a great thing, and we live in a world in which there is opportunity to create our own identity. There is opportunity maybe to change our identity and to recreate it over and over again. But actually, that can be an exhausting thing, striving to be various people in various situations, striving to prove ourselves to ourselves, striving to prove ourselves to other people, to maintain our image, to maintain that picture of who others believe us to be. That can bring its own problems and issues. But I like that when Moses asks this question, "Who am I?" I love God's answer to Moses' question. It's maybe a little bit of a strange answer, but it's a wonderful answer. Moses asks, "Who am I?" And Jesus' reply is simply this. I will be with you. It's not really what we would be expecting as the answer. You see, we've just said that this question, who am I, it's born out of inadequacy, it's born out of fear. We might have expected that God would have started in with a great reassurance to Moses of his gifts and his skills and his calling, but he doesn't. I'm pretty sure that's how I would have handled it if it was up to me. I would immediately have begun to reassure Moses that he was the man for the job. I probably would have reminded him of his upbringing in Pharaoh's court and how that suited him for the job. Probably reminded him of how he had seen his people suffering firsthand and how that would have suited him for the job. Even the fact that he'd spent 40 years out in the desert, along with God and the sheep, surely that was all getting ready for what God had for him. But no, that's not the reassurance that God gives. It doesn't go over any of Moses' credentials at all. He simply says to him, I will be with you. There's nearly part of me thinks, is that any sort of answer at all, Moses, that you're giving? My guess is tonight that Simon and Jean might be sort of asking some of the questions that Moses asked. And I guess that one that might well rise to the surface is that question, who am I? As you consider going, well, you're there in Cavan, but as you consider starting to work in Cavan, I guess there's a lot of what Moses was feeling that you're feeling. But God whispers these same words to you. But I will be with you. What in fact God was saying to Moses and what he says to you tonight is this. It's not up to you and who you are. It's not up to who you think you are or what image you have built around yourself. Actually, your identity is found in who I am. You can walk through life with me. You can find your confidence and worth in your work because you know me. Actually, who you are, your achievements and failures, they are of secondary importance. In every situation of life that's coming, in every situation of life that you will face, nothing can affect your identity. Nothing can affect your status, who you are. Because I will be with you. What a difference that makes for us, all of us this evening here in Carrick Baptist, all of us who are believers, to realize that our identity lies in God, not in ourselves. United to Christ this evening, we are children of God. Outside of Christ, we have no power, no authority, no acceptance. Take the example of the commoner this evening who seeks an audience with the king or the queen of the land. They're never going to get into the presence of the monarch, never mind being able to have a conversation with the monarch. However, if they arrive at the palace as the ambassador or the envoy of another monarch or another realm, then in all likelihood they will gain admittance. Why? Because they no longer stand there solely based on their own identity, but rather they get their identity from the king or the queen of the realm that they have come from. And so it is with us. In Christ we have acceptance, we have power, and we have authority that is ours because of him. All that we have in Jesus Christ this evening is so much more than the fear and the inadequacy that would whelm up within ourselves. That's question number one, who am I? Interestingly, Moses maybe was Irish because he leads from one question, from one answer into another question. And we're that sort of people who sometimes we answer questions with questions. His second question is basically this: who is God? Who am I? Who is God? Well, in verse 13, after the first answer that has come from God, but I will be with you, we have this second question. What if I come to them and they ask me who you are? What am I going to say to them? And Jesus gives him a second definitive answer in verse 14. He says, I am who I am. Once more, it seems really like a strange sort of an answer, doesn't it? I am who I am. What sort of name is this for God? Well, you and I, we are people who are shaped a lot by other people. Whether we like to admit it or not, we are people who are shaped by our culture. You see, God is so different from us, so utterly different from us. He is unconstrained by people or situations or culture. God is the one who will decide to be who he decides to be. God is the one who will do what he decides to do. Why? Because he is the sovereign God of heaven. The only things that constrain God are these: his character and his promises. Surely that gives us great hope this evening. Tim Chester, in his little book on Exodus, says this: because God is not constrained by others, and because God is constrained by himself, we can be sure he will deliver. Here in Exodus chapter 3, God wants his people in Egypt, and he wants his servant Moses to know just a little bit of what the otherness of God really means. What he's really saying to Moses is this: Moses, you need to know that I am the Creator God, and you are the creature. You're dependent on me, Moses, for every part of your existence. But I do not need another. I am completely self-sufficient in every circumstance and situation. Both you, Moses, and this people need to know that the task I've given you, I will bring it about. I have the resources for the job that needs to be done, and I'm using you, Moses. You are my chosen instrument. But either way, I have everything that I need within myself to bring my people out of Egypt. And you know, I find that tremendously encouraging. I trust that you, Simon and Jean, find it tremendously encouraging. Because surely what we discover in this name that God has given himself, I am who I am, we find that our God is dependable. He does not rely on any other. He can and he will deliver. And you know what's more? He's not just I was. The Israelites were about to discover that the God of their ancestor Abraham was still God in their own day. And you can be sure that Abraham's God, Moses' God, is our God. The God who sent the plagues and judgment upon Pharaoh, who parted the Red Sea, who came down upon Mount Sinai, is the God to whom we look this evening. He's the God that accompanies the Gibson family on their mission to County Cavan. So never fear if there are demonstrations of his power that are needed. He is the God who can demonstrate his power. If there are seas that require parting before you, he's quite capable of parting seas. Or if you just need to know the reality of his presence around you, he's there and God has not changed. Furthermore, God is not I may be, is he? He is I am. And praise God, he's also I will be. I don't know about you. When I promise things to people, there's a wee word I always have to put in, and that's the word if. Before I make a commitment, I have to say, well, I'll come if I'm free. I'll help you if I'm able. I used to say when I was a young pastor, not a young pastor, not even a pastor anymore, but when I was a young pastor, I used to say to folks, you know, it's better that I disappoint you sooner rather than later, because sooner or later, one way or another, I will disappoint you. You know, that's true of us all this evening in our flawed human nature. Can we fully say, depend on me? I don't think so. But we can say, depend on him. God will deliver all that he has promised. He is our covenant keeping God. And actually, his covenant here in Exodus is sealed with his blood. Blood of the Passover lamb, isn't it? Sprinkled on the doorposts of the Israelites' houses. And of course, the new covenant, sealed with blood, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the words in Luke 22, verse 20, which reminds us how the Lord Jesus, in the night before he was betrayed, he took the cup, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. How committed is God to any one of us, to each one of us this evening? How committed is God to this family going down to Cavan? Well, his commitment, we're reminded of it every time that we take that cup in communion. The covenant that is between us is signed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're heading off to Cavan tonight, whether you're here in Carrickfergus in County Antrim tonight, you are joined to God by the blood of his Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, here's how Paul expresses it. He says, for I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor depth, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Over 29 years ago, I entered into a covenant with a young woman. I promised my love to her. She became my wife and I became her husband, and that certainly changed a lot of things. And if you want the full story, you probably need to talk to her about how profound those changes were, but it changed our whole relationship. You see, from that day, we're bound in relationship one with the other. So it is with the God of covenants. When we know God as our covenant God, it changes our whole identity, it changes our whole relationship, and through his covenant, we become his children and we go forward with him. That's a special thing to be reminded of this evening. Who am I? Who is God? Who is on the team? That's the third question. Yes, you would expect that it includes this awesome covenant-keeping God, the God of Abram. But God partners Moses with one further team member, doesn't he? Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, after all that has been said in this dialogue with God, Moses raises the issue of his inability to speak. And at this point, God says, well, there's Aaron, there's your brother. Surely Aaron, your brother, the Levite, he will speak. God is going to teach Moses now something about partnership and teamwork. I actually enjoy the fact that after all Moses' excuses, God still has a plan to get him to where he wants to be. So if you're in here tonight and you're trying to avoid God's plan, it doesn't really work, I have to tell you that. But the fact that really is evident to me here in chapter 4 is this, that not one of us is capable of fulfilling the task on our own. Nobody has all the necessary gifts. Nobody has all that is required. And it's wonderful. God knows how best to team us up. God knows, because he made us, how best to complete us. And he's put you, Jane, and you, Simon, together in a team. You're not the same people. You don't have identical personalities and gifting. And if people don't know where those differences lie, we could talk about that afterwards as well. But you do complete each other as part of a team. A team that is made powerful by Almighty God. This work that you're going to commence in Cavan, it's a task that will require level-headedness, but also emotion and enthusiasm. It will require thinking outside of the box, and it will require organization. It will require an ability to work in isolation and an ability to make connections. Who can provide all of these things? Not one of you on your own, but both of you together. And most importantly, both of you together under God. And if you think about it, Aaron was the ideal man, really, for the job in Exodus. If Moses was going to put his words in the mouth of another, who would speak them better than his own brother? Someone who knew him well. Someone who maybe could catch the emphasis of his words, the one who could grasp the sentiment lying behind them. Almost able to second guess what Moses would say. Moses' brother was a match. He was a wonderful addition to the team. And this was God's winning combination for Moses as he went in before Pharaoh. God has put the two of you together. But I believe he'll add others to your ministry. Look out for the people that God wants to add to your ministry in Cavan. Those who want to partner with you for work amongst boys and girls. Some of those people may be people you already know, maybe people you've met in ordinary ways, in ordinary places. Others you have yet to know, people who will make your ministry more balanced, more effective. They'll complement your deficiencies. Think of those great biblical partnerships. Paul and Timothy. Paul was outspoken. Timothy seems quite timid. Paul was schooled at the feet of Gamaliel. Timothy was brought up by his mother and his grandmother. Yeah, what a partnership these men make. And here's the genuine encouragement. God has his people everywhere. God has his people in Cavan who have a heart for boys and girls, who have been waiting on someone to come to them, to lead them. God has his people in Cavan whose heartbeat is like yours, is like God's, is like that of all of us in Child Evangelism Fellowship. Pray that you'll be excited as you seek out who they are. Who am I? Who is God? Who is on the team? And the last one, who will go? Who will go? Here in Exodus chapter 4, we discover in this dialogue between God and Moses that when everything has been said and done, it boils down to a matter of obedience. Chapter 4, verse 13, Moses eventually cries out, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." Although wrapped in many words, deep down within Moses there was a resistance to the call of God that had been issued on his life. There was a resistance to bringing God's people up out of Egypt. And we should read on into verse 14 and see God's response to that refusal. Because it says, "Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." You see, obedience is paramount for each one of us. It was paramount for Moses. And disobedience is a serious issue before God this evening. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, at least this last question isn't too hard to apply. Who will go? Has to be pretty obvious Who will go? The whole reason that we've come to church tonight, the whole reason we're gathered here is quite simply this, that the Gibsons are going. And yes, they are. And I don't imagine that for one moment their coming to this point has been any easier than it was for Moses. I'm quite sure there were times when they felt like crying out those words, "Oh Lord, please just send someone else." Times when their obedience was put to the test. But you see, here's what they said. "Yes, whatever it takes, we'll step up to the plate. No matter that there is cost and sacrifice involved, we will not hold back. We've heard your call upon our lives. And although we greatly feel our weakness and our inadequacy, we will go." Do you know, I want to look out beyond the Gibson family this evening. I want to finish with a personal challenge to you as you sit here in this congregation tonight. You've listened this evening as David Edwards, our country leader, has outlined the needs that still exist amongst boys and girls of Ireland. Counties in the south of Ireland that have no established children's ministry and no full-time worker or volunteers to establish that ministry. I want to ask you this evening, if God is asking you to go, will you go? You see, you have come here to say farewell to the Gibsons. But perhaps God wants you to recognize that he's speaking to you as well. God's voice is saying to you, "Come, I will send you." What are you going to do about it? Get up out of your seat in a minute or two, go and have something to eat and get out of this meeting and do all you can to excuse yourself from going? Or will you go? Will you be like Jane and Simon, be willing to say, "Nothing special about me, Lord. In fact, I make a mess of things a lot of the time. I really feel that there are a lot of the things that are missing in my skills and ability. But having said that, Lord, I'm willing to obey. Yes, Lord, I will go." That would be a wonderful send-off for Jane and Simon this evening as they go down to County Cavan, to know that their obedience has actually been a catalyst that has caused you two to say, "Yes, me too, I will go." My prayer is that God will bless you, my friends, as you go out from here. I do trust that as a congregation, we'll not send them out alone. We'll send them out surrounded by our prayers that filled up with the Holy Spirit. They may know much of the power and the peace of God in their lives, overflowing in their lives. And I pray that in the days that lie ahead, we may have many opportunities to partner with you in the work of the gospel to reach boys and girls in County Cavan. Let us pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, this evening, something deep down inside us which tells us that when we ask that question, "Who am I?" we're nothing but for the grace of God. And when we hear that question, "Who is God?" we realize he is the mighty King of all the universe, and yet he is our Savior, and he has covenanted through the blood of his own Son to lead us all the way to glory. Who is on our team to answer the task that lies before us? Well, we praise you, Lord, that you are there. And we praise you, God, that you've given us many human connections of those who will be a part of ministry with us. Lord, you know whether perhaps you're particularly speaking to someone here tonight who will go. Someone who maybe has heard that voice before and has resisted the call. But Lord, you're reaching out to them again this evening. And you're asking them, "Will you go?" Father, I pray that we may each one respond with utter obedience, utter devotion to the King that we serve. Lord, we just praise you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Continue to bless us, to bless our fellowship together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.